You will never, ever be the same.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad that he's here, because that's the one that I came to see. You did everything that you could do physically, you know. You prepare, you pray, you made a sacrifice to come to church. You did everything possible, mechanically possible. I did everything mechanically possible to prepare to come here to yield my vessel to him. Now he's here and he take care of the rest. We did what we could do and as far as I could do it. Well, okay, I could have done a little bit more. It's always a little bit more to do. Maybe I could have got a little earlier to church. It's always a little room for improvement, okay? But we done what we physically could do. Now let him have his way. Amen. Amen. Because just like Joshua, he says, be courage. Whoop. That's something. Okay, I got it. Like he told Joshua, be courageous. You know, move forward. Don't yield to the left or to the right. Don't get swayed. Either way, stay with the message. Keep moving forward. Forget what's going here. Forget what's going here. Keep focused on the prize. He said, don't let anything move you. You know, stand firm in the solid rock and move forward. See? Don't let your word never what? Fall into the ground. You are the word. Satan wants you to fall. Don't let Satan, you know, to let you fall. And if you fall, just get up. Run to daddy. Not away from daddy. Don't make excuses. Run to daddy and say, sorry, daddy. He's faithful to forgive you, to clean you of all unrighteousness. And then you can move forward. You got it? Okay, let's go home then. Thank you, musicians. That was easy. I thought it was going to be harder, but we're done. Even though we're done, we still got to go through my notes. I spent time in these notes. So you're going to listen at least some of these things that God put in my heart. Listen, I needed it, and I know at least one of you need what God has this morning. I don't know who it is, but you need something. That's why you're here tonight, this morning, because you need something from him. Amen. See, it is not good enough to come, but you have to expect. Right. See, you can come, you know, looking after, you know, to come and receive, but you have to expect something. Just to come and expect that God will move. Yes, he will move. Yes, he will bless. But what is your expectation this morning for your personal life? If you don't have any expectation, there's nothing to be met. You leave the same way you came and you say, I ain't get nothing. What did you expect this morning for him to do to you personally? Put it at his feet this morning. Tell him, this is my need this morning. And maybe you don't even know your need. And maybe that is not your need. But God will give you what you have need of. He knows exactly. But you have to, this is not to come to church and check a box. I came, I received good worship, good time, but he made your expectation. Do you know what your expectation this morning is? As we pray, then ask God to meet your expectation. And I tell you God, what? God will use me to meet your expectation. Because that is God's program. I don't care who is here. That is God's program. I will yield my vessel. And you yield yours, and God will do the rest. I don't know what you have need. He knows what you have need. Well, the second part, that was easy. Let's go home. If I don't stop, we never get done. Let us pray. Father, I'd rather be here than any place in the world. Here with the purchased blood. The Bible says where the carcass is, that's your eagles gathered. We have gathered this morning to partake of the bread of the word. And Father, feed us this morning. Amen. Whatever we have need of, you know. And we're expecting, Father, that you come and meet those needs. I ask that we be a little bit more specific. Sometimes I ask my wife what we're going to eat, and she says, whatever you want. But that's not a specific. You're going to tell God, yeah, God, whatever you want. No. What is your heart telling you? Put it out there and let God do the rest. Bless the name of the Almighty God today and His Spirit that is here, His presence is here this morning to meet your need. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Something going on? Higher? Higher, higher, higher? Okay. Go higher. Amen. So, are you glad to be here this morning? Okay, let's try that again. Are you glad? I'm going to have to stand you up because you sound better standing up than sitting. Are you glad to be here this morning? I am glad to be here. I mean, I'm glad to be here with you. You know, because this is the place that God called me to be. And this is the place that I want to be. I want to fulfill my election and my call this morning. I'm ready to do that. Are you ready to do yours? Then you will not be disappointed. God will not disappoint you. Amen. And if you get disappointed, it's not because God, it's me, maybe. So I said something or did something that you did not agree with. And that's fine. Forgive me. And then we move forward. Let me get this thing, this engine going. Okay. This morning we're going to talk about foundations. I'm in the wrong place here. Okay. Preaching, but in the scene. We're going to talk about foundations, and we're going to look at Proverbs 10:25. He says, as the whirlwind passes, the whirlwind is the storms of life, circumstances, situation, storms, hurricanes, tornado, whatever comes the way, even the devil, when the devil, you know, comes like a flood, you know. God allowed all these things. When the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous, he says, is an everlasting foundation. See? When the storm of life comes, it comes in any shape and way. But when it comes, if you are not have a good foundation, then you'll be gone. That's what God is trying to say. Because your dependence in your foundation, what is going to happen? But the wicked, says, are gone. But the righteous will stand firm forever. Amen. Yeah, I don't care what happened out there. I don't care who's saying what. I don't care if, you know, tornadoes are coming and flood and earthquakes and, you know, volcanoes and the earth is shaking. Right. I am firm. Solid on that rock. Amen. Nothing will move me. Amen. Nothing. Why? Because I know my Redeemer lives and I know where I'm standing. Do you know where you're standing today? Amen. It makes a difference about your foundation. Now, a foundation, you know, you look at in the natural, a foundation could be, you know, this is a foundation supporting all the way of this building. See? So a foundation, you know, in the physical sense, it is that supports, that stabilize the building. And that keeps it from, you know, falling when the winds comes, the storm. It's the foundation that gives the house, you know, the strength that he needs. But it has to be a good foundation, see? Because if you don't have a good foundation to begin with, it's weak. What happens when the storm of life will come? It takes you away. See? So, when we're talking about foundations in the spiritual sense, we're talking about your mental, moral, and ethical qualities that define you as a person. In other words, your characteristics. Your character is defined. And it's defined depending on what is your foundation. Foundation means whatever you believe, whatever your values are, And whatever your thoughts about anything, whatever you perceive, that is all perceived by your own makeup. And your makeup is your foundation. That's why, wrong or right, you stand in your foundation sometimes. Because this is what I believe. And nobody's going to move me, right or wrong. So a foundation, it just defines the person. It defines a group, and it defines a nation. This nation is under shaky grounds. Chaos everywhere. The foundation of this country is rotten to the core.
That's right.
Corruptions in the government, corruptions in school, corruptions in church, corruptions in everywhere.
Right.
It's going to fall.
Yes.
Just a matter of time. Why? They have let the foundation get polluted. With ideas. You know, with thoughts that are not thoughts of God. And groups and nations. So the foundation will define who you are and what you are. It is your character. Good, bad, or ugly. It is your character. Now, I want to talk about that because it will define who you are today. Because, yeah, we started with a bad character anyway. We didn't have no choice. I was born shaped in iniquity, speaking lies, disobedience. That was my first foundation. I couldn't do nothing about my foundation. I wanted to do good. I couldn't do good. Why? Because my foundation, my belief, whatever I was shaped, whatever I was, it's having a reverb there. The way I was shaped by my family, they did good things. And they did some good things that were not that good. That I would not repeat. I will do a lot of things that I learned from my family, from my dad and mom. There's some things that I didn't disagree that I will change. And now that I know better, I will change a lot of things. But there's still things in me. Let me see. That I still will carry on to my children. They will find. For example, one of the things that I always remember my father was, he always told me, be respectful. It doesn't matter who. As a child, I mean, trying to understand, be respectful. To anybody. So I said, okay. So I tried to honor that. So I was very respectful to adults and to anybody that talked to me. I would bow my head. In those days, I wouldn't even look straight at somebody's face and eyes. I was so, you know, put it shy, but I was respectful. So visitors would come to the house, and my father said, oh, be my children. So here we go. You know, showing respect. And I did. So, when I was, you know, raising my family, I told my kids the same way. I told Carlos, I remember having the conversation more with Carlos than the girls, but I probably did with all them. I said, be respectful. Whatever you do, respect someone else. So, one day I was, you know, my son was about 14, 13, teenager. And one of the brothers at church came to me, you know, suddenly I was just shaking his hand and, you know, greeting him. And he says, you know what? You have the best, you know, respectful son that I ever talked to. And that makes me feel good. Because I told my son, you better respect. If not, you know what you're going to get. It doesn't matter if you're right and you're wrong. You're looking at me now. Listen. If your father is right or wrong, you need to be respectful.
Right.
If your wife and your husband are not, you need to be respectful of your husband. If he's not doing what you think he should be doing, you know, you still need to respect him.
Yeah. Right.
Well, but my husband is not a believer. It doesn't matter. You need to respect the person.
Right.
You might don't like what they're doing, but you need to respect the person.
Yes. Amen.
Because you ain't not gonna get no respect. You cannot demand respect neither. People don't work that way.
Right.
You need to give respect so you can get some respect. And today in our country, you know, everybody wants their rights. Homosexual wants rights. This woman wants rights. That one right. Everybody wants their right. Demanding rights. And you like it or not, this is the way it's going to be. And you better accept me because this is who I am.
Right.
You know, demand that you agree with them.
Sure.
I respect the person.
Yes.
You know, they have rights, just like I have rights. Okay, but I respect your rights and you respect my rights. Maybe I don't agree with your rights. Nevertheless, that's your right. In the beginning, God respected Cain. He gave him a choice. And he respected his choice. It wasn't the choice that I would make. It wasn't the choice that God wanted, but God respected his choice because he had a choice to make. God gave him that. And God is not going to go against himself. God is not a respecter of a person. So I don't care what happened out there in another denomination. God do not respect the person, but his word. He will do. So if a person is not a message believer, but is still a Christian, a good, righteous Christian, you can have some good Christians out there. Oh, they're not messaged, so what? There's good people out there. They're bad people, and they're ugly people, and they're hungry people like me. I'm hungry all the time. But that means because they are not, they don't believe what you believe, you have to be there respectful. You cannot tell them, well, I don't believe you got miracles and supernatural. I mean, you not even believe this message. No, God respect them.
Yes. Amen.
If they step, if they have the same faith that you have toward his word,
yes.
God will respect that word and that person, regardless who that person is.
Amen.
All right. I don't like to use this example, but Brother Brandon used it. If a prostitute will come through there, let's say she has AIDS or cancer, and she has a need, and she goes to there and she hears somebody preaching the gospel, and she believes, and she believes that God can heal her, God will honor that faith. God don't have no respect of person, and you and I, we should do the same thing. We should respect one another, even if we don't agree with one another. That had nothing to do with anything. That means that your foundation is a little bit different than mine. Maybe I learned something different than you did. I came from Puerto Rico. I got all kind of things that I like that you don't like. Mexican, they have menudo, and some of you don't like menudo. So what? You need to respect the person for what he is. God respect him. This is not even my message. I'm not even out of my message. Already, I haven't even started with the first. But let me finish it. Because we need to respect one another. We don't have nothing left. And that depends on the way you was taught. Like I was telling you. Whatever you receive from your father. Listen, you like it or not. You like it or not. You are. You know. The way you were shaped when you were coming up.
Yes.
I mean, you like it or not, you are part of your parents. The first 80% of your character was shaped by your mom and your dad. 80%. So I don't care what you said. 80% of you, sometimes I'm at home and I'm doing something or say something, and I say, oh, like my father. Ah, why am I saying that? My wife tell me, ah, you're just acting like your father. You know, unconsciously, or subconsciously, you know, you are the way you were shaped. Your first foundation came from your father's and mama. You got 23 chromosomes coming each way. You know, chromosomes has all the information required to do this. Some tall, some ugly like me, some dark, some white. It doesn't matter. So these 23 chromosomes come in. This is all the information, all the garbage that Dad is bringing from great, 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 great. He has it there, all that information. And mama has another set of information that comes from way, way, way. You know? My great, 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 great grandfather, all that is coming to there. Then those two information comes together. And then they decide to create, taking this information, create a what? Another set of information. But they're not doing away with this. And they're not doing away with this. So when you are born, you got the, you know, you got everything that mama was dragging and daddy was dragging, and now you're dragging something else later on. So, if your mama had the Holy Ghost and your daddy has the Holy Ghost and they come together and you are born, do you think you have the Holy Ghost? Do you think you're any good because they had the Holy Ghost? They gave you a foundation. They give you a fleshy foundation. They didn't give you a spiritual foundation. That will come later when they're raising you up. You still have to deal with all the genes. Poor, it come. Why I'm so angry? Well, you know, the Bible said that sin will visit up to the third generation. So, I don't know, my great-great-grandfather could be stingy and, you know, bitter. So I wonder, what am I doing that way? Well, that's in my poor gene. You know? So the way you act and the way I act has to do with my poor gene. You cannot get rid of that. It's still here. Your children, yes, you like them to come and accept the Lord and follow the Lord. That's the testament. You want to leave them. But they have to deal with the genes. Because this was not regenerated. The way God called you, that's the way you're going to be. I'm not going to get any better in my own. But I'm glad that the story don't end there. Because I got another foundation. I became a new creation, but I still got that other foundation. Paul says, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't. And the one that I don't, I do, you know. Because he had another foundation. That it was not regenerated. You have been regenerated, but it's not in the flesh. The flesh is still flesh. It's condemned. And that is the one you have to. That's your enemy. And that's the one you have to have victory over. All that pollution that came from this thing. I'm not saying it's bad, but that's your makeup. So you find out what your father and your mom, your grandfather, and you find out that you have some other stuff in you. But you have a chance. I'm glad that. Yeah, if the story ended there, I'm miserable. Because I tried to do good and I could. But now I have a chance to change that foundation. In my soul. Not this guy. This guy's going to hell. You're not changing this guy. It's corrupted. See? You know, that's why. Sometimes, you know, that began in Eden. Adam. Adam was made first, you know. A spiritual being, you know, Adam was him and her, two spirits in called Adam. And then he was in that theophany, but then God separates them, put them in the body. So he bypassed now the theophany. The theophany is there waiting, just like your theophany is waiting. You bypass your theophany. But your theophany is your character. You know that? Because that is the part that God made on his own image, and God has character. And that is the character that you're trying to match here so you can put it together. If not, they can come together. Because God is going to unite himself with God. Your theophany is going to join himself with that part of you that has the same character that he has. That theophany, it is your character. What do you think? Brother Brown says, character is not a gift. It is a what? A victory. Because when you get that victory going through the ladder, you know, Peter says, after your faith, virtue, after your virtue, knowledge, after the patience, godliness, brotherly love, and then when you start looking like your theophany, your theophany would not meet you until you look like that theophany. So that means that you're going to have to fight this guy all the way up. How you fight it? You have to ignore him. You don't walk by feelings, but you walk by the Spirit. So every time you get a little feeling about somebody or about yourself, that is not your theophany. That is your gene pool. But I don't like that. But I love that. Because that's not what they taught you to eat. This is what I've been eating since I was in that island. So I love it. My wife liked pork chop with... She had to have, what is that called, that baby? Applesauce. Yeah. I was taught to eat, or the way I learned to eat, I don't know how, I had to separate my sweets from my salts. I cannot have them together. Yeah. That's why I don't like peas in tacos, because it's sweet. I don't like the sweet with that. I'm not the only one you're laughing at. But that's me. You're not wrong. It's just that's my gene pool.
And I agree with you. I respect you. You like tacos with pea. You like applesauce with pork. I don't. People like to make some mango sauce to put on the pork. You know, raisins and mangoes and vinegar. And then you put it over the pork. Mm-mm. You know, I like to taste the meat. You know what Americans do a lot? They like to cover the taste of the meat because the meat got no taste. So let's keep some, let's make some gravy to cover that you don't have no taste in your meat. When I want to taste the meat, I want to taste the meat that tastes like meat and it's nice and condiment. I don't want to cover it up like a lot of Christians. Okay, sorry, I stepped in some. Either you are who you are or you are not. And if you're not, you're covering. You're covering the real you. You know, we don't have to, be sincere and honest. You know, so when I eat my pork chops and I eat my pork, you do sweets. In fact, I don't do sweets with any of my salt. I got to finish in the morning. I have to drink my coffee. Nothing else. I like to mix with my coffee, juice or anything. I take me an hour to finish all my two or three cups of coffee. Then I can eat. I cannot taste coffee and grease, eggs and food and coffee. My wife loves it. She can eat coffee with menudo. That makes me throw up. Because when I was growing up, I could not even drink milk. I don't drink milk. I have drink milk in I don't know how long. Maybe I drink one cup out of a whole year. I'm not a milk drinker. I don't like milk. So anyway, that's not that I'm right. But I'm trying to show you that we have a lot of difference and it's not had nothing to do with anything. Sure. Just keep that to yourself. And don't make somebody more odd because they don't believe the way you believe anyway. That's where we get all these feelings of misemotion. We come to church. I didn't get what I... getting kind of... I didn't get the kind of expectation from that sister. She didn't shake my hand. She didn't look at me. I don't know what's wrong with her. Well, that's not your theophany talking. That's your feelings talking. Go over there and shake her hand and say, here I am. And you glad to see me today? You know, break the... You go ahead and do it. But what happened, we started letting the gene pool talk. You are here to overcome your gene pool. What else are you here for? You need to have the character of your theophany and kill your gene pool. Don't let it rise above. That's a fight. Every day you have to wake up and you have to carry that cross. You got to nail this guy, the feelings. All this stuff that make you different sometimes from somebody else, that's okay. But don't make yourself more special just because. Because you're not. We are not. The only reason we are here is because it's grace and his mercy. So your foundation has been changed. God transferred you from the kingdom of Satan, his foundation, to another kingdom. The process is here, kill that guy. That's what you need to do. So when the feelings rise up, and when the disagreement rises up, stop. Figure out who is that. This morning, I talk about myself because I don't know you. I don't live with you. But my wife said something to me and I got kind of, you know what? I might as well spill the beans. God help me. God help the preacher. Listen, I saw a t-shirt in, I don't know if it was in Facebook or somewhere. A little girl had a t-shirt. I don't know, somewhere, anyway. So the teacher says, the little girl says, I asked God for help, and he sent me my grandfather. But my father is bitter. He has no patience with nonsense and stupid things and blah, 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 blah. And he says, and then in the bottom says, and you better beware. So I guess she'd been bullied or something, so she said, hey, I got somebody behind me, my grandfather. You know? Sometimes I get that way. I'm going to confess, okay? Sometimes my wife tells me certain things and I jump. I get out of my casing. You know, I get out of myself sometimes. When I'm driving, oh, God. Yeah, I'm not the only one. I drive all the time, and she's driving there next to me, and I said, will you leave me alone? I know where I'm going. Would you just... No, because you forget and not turn here. No, I say, I know where I'm going. Now, I give it to you sometimes. I've got so much in my mind, and thinking and talking. I cannot multitask when I'm driving. I either drive or I either listen at the radio. I cannot do both or talk. And I get to talking and I miss the entrance. But that's, I know that. But, you know, a backseat driver, So sometimes I get kind of, okay, get furious. I let myself get out of myself. And I said, would you just hush and leave me alone? Well, you don't have to be that way. I said, well, if you stop, then I don't have to be that way. When are you going to stop driving when I'm driving? You know, some of you don't like to be told what to do because you think you have it all figured out, right? Then you get upset when somebody tells you, right? Tell me you're laughing too much, huh? You're smiling. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, but until you tame that beast, you got to tame your own beast. And I will tame mine. So you pray for me. Okay? And I pray for you. Because sometimes we let him out of the cage. Our job is to keep him in the cage. Down underneath our feet. But sometimes, come on. I'm not the only one here. Sometimes you let it go. Because your feelings are hurt. So you're going to make sure you get, you know, give him a piece of your mind to somebody else. That is the time that you need to hunker down and say, you know what, that's not the way.
Amen.
It's not the way.
It's true.
You need to just go and either apologize or say, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry for what I said, but I am sorry that I offset you with my action. I didn't mean to do that. And apologize. And then next time she do it again, then you just kind of bite your tongue. And you say, okay, honey, yeah, I got it. That's it. Move forward. The other day I was doing some texting in the phone to someone. My wife always says, who are you talking to? I had to talk about myself. This is today my thing, my fault. And I don't like that. Because I feel like she don't trust me. She do, but this is my feelings. She don't trust me. Why don't you? You think I'm going to talk to another woman or something after 40 years of being married, for over 42 years? I've never been unfaithful to her. I haven't touched anybody, kissed anybody else. She's the only woman I've kissed for 42 years. Hold her in my hands. You think that now, after I'm 70, I'm going to try something new? You know, it took me 40 years to break her. You think I have 40 more years to break somebody else? Okay, the other way around. So she tells me that I don't want to answer. I'm going to hunker down. You don't need to know. Leave me alone. If you don't trust me, it's too bad. You know, I don't say that. I think that. So I keep going. Then the conversation escalates a little. Until I leave. That's all. Then I talked to my daughter, Monica, one time. She said, how you doing, Dad? I'm doing good. What happened? I don't know. Your mother here. But Dad, the only thing you had to tell her was who you was talking to. Is that easy? Yes, that would have finished everything. You know, you're right. But you get stuck up. Because I got my rights. And this is my feeling. And this is how I feel. And you have no business making me feel this way. Don't you trust me? Don't you have any feeling for me? Okay, I'm not talking to myself this morning. And this is not even my message. It's still there. I haven't even touched it. Respect. But starts at your house. Start with you. You know what we do? We blame somebody else for our own shortcomings. But the pastor. But this guy. Stop playing the blaming game. That's what happened to Adam. And Adam, what happened? The woman you gave me. Pass the bug. The problem is solved. Pastor Bob, that's what I said at work. At work, they asked me to do certain projects, and I will do certain things. And they come, are you done? Oh, no, I gave it to so-and-so. Solution, Pastor Bob, I'm done. I don't have to be responsible for that part. And that's what we do. The game that they play at the beginning in Genesis, Pastor Bob. And you, who told you? That guy, a beast right there. See, we just passed the bug. Because why? We pass the blame. We don't want to stop and look at ourselves first. And see what we had to do with the whole. You know what Brother Brown says? When you know that somebody did something to you and it was real and they did it to you and it wasn't true, but they did something to you. See, you take that brother to the throne of grace and you pray. Amen. Shoulder to shoulder. And you say, by the time God starts talking to you, you're going to realize that you have something. Maybe not the whole thing, but you have something to do with his situation. Maybe a word you said. Maybe a word you didn't say. Maybe a look that you didn't even give. But you have something to do with his situation. Maybe not all of it, but some of it. So we need to consider one another in this walk. And give people the benefit of the doubt and respect them. The only thing I have is my word. That's all I got. And if you ask me, brother, did you do this? I said, no. That's it. That's my word. You don't have to go and say, wow, I don't think so. That's another part of my wife and I. Yeah, might as well. Might as well. My wife asked me a question. I give her an answer, and she's telling me no. I get furious. What did you ask me if you're not going to believe me? Sometimes she says, did you do that? I say, yes. No, you didn't. Oh, my God, that's just enough to just get me go moving. I said, why did you ask if you're not going to believe my word? But I don't think so. I said, what do you want me to prove it to you? My word is not enough. And that's what happened to some of you in your relationship. The only thing I have is my word. And if I know without certainty that I did and I said yes, then there's no more question about it. There's no more. I'm not doubting. So why you? You need to take me at my word. If I'm lying to you, that's not your business. That is within me and God. But next time somebody asks you, wait, did you resolve that with that brother? What did you ask him? What did he say? Did he say that? That's settled. That you think is lying, that's not your business. That's between him and God. You respect him because he told you that's his word. And that's all you got. Unless you got some proof. You went out behind him and got some accusers that they did Jesus. False accusers. So we need to respect each other all the way, not just in one little thing, in all the things that we are walking in this journey. We're going to be here for a little bit. The way you act here is the way you're going to act there. See, I'm talking about foundation. I'm talking about examining your belief, your values, why you think what you think, and just describe those that are you, and just take the one that is God. Because that is your second foundation. That foundation is gone. That first horseman is dead. You don't have the genes anymore. Well, you still carry the genes, but you're supposed to put your gene to death. Mortify him in the cross every day. Don't let that guy rise up. Amen. That is your job. My job is to deal with this guy this morning. So, should we go preaching now or not? Let me see. I don't know where I am. Sorry, guys. Somebody needed something. I don't know. So Proverbs, the whirlwind passes. I didn't get too far. So we're talking about foundations. And a foundation, you know, it is a system of truth. You got a system of truth based on what you believe in your foundation, in your principles. Whatever you were built up to believe. The world condition you and you are that, all that is coming up. Like I said, mom and dad was 80%. The other 20%, 15, you get at school. And your peers. And the other 5% is when you make your mind what to believe, and you're going to stick with that. That's it. That's not a lot, right? It's not a lot. So it doesn't matter if your mom was good, bad, or indifferent. That is what you're going to get. And your fight this morning is to fight against that, because Satan will use it. So you need to understand that God is perfecting me. And if he's using my wife, it's not my wife's fault. It is my fault. There must be something in me that God is trying to show me, and the only way to show it is for somebody to point it out. If it bothers me, it's because it's still there. So I got some work to do. You pray for me. Because, you know, at 70, I thought the older you get, the easier the things get. And in a sense, they do. Because the older you get, your body stops craving for a lot of stuff. Right? And sometimes it stops craving for a lot of stuff and have appetite for a lot of things. In fact, you are born with 10,000 taste buds all over your mouth and your tongue. 10,000. By the time you get to 70, 5,000 died already. So no wonder I go to the first cafeteria, nothing tastes like nothing. Because I lost the taste. That's what I put more salt in my food now. My wife said, "This is salty." Well, I need to taste something. Half of my taste bud died out. So now the food tastes different. It is not that the cook is cooking different. It's just that your taste is changing. Because things are dying. Well, let me tell you, you know how many billions of cells I had before I started? Half of them are gone. So if I forget your name, forgive me. And sometimes it happens. My wife said, "Did you close the gate?" I said, "Yes, I thought I did." Then she goes and checks and it's open. Okay. See, she's right sometimes. You know, I forget because I thought I did it. Well, I thought about it, then I forgot. So when they ask me, and that can happen to you. Somebody's not doing something because they want to hurt you, because they want to do it, because they want you to be mean, or they sometimes they say things, you know, and they don't mean anything. Just you know, but we want to make something out of it. So we start fighting. "Did you close the gate?" "Yes, I closed the gate." "No, you didn't." "Yes, I did." "Yes." And then you start the fight and the fussing. And then after you go over there and check, oh my. Then ask for forgiveness. Come and say, "Sorry, I thought you did this. You know, somebody told me this. I imagined this. Now you tell me it's not. Forgive me, because that's what I imagined." Brother Brown says, you come to church, and if you imagine that sister don't like you, by the time of the end of the service, she don't like you. Not her, but in your mind. But man says, you come to the service and you don't have cancer, but if you think you have it, by the end of the service, you will have cancer or a heart attack, because whatever you anticipating, whatever you expecting, it will happen. Because it's all mental stuff. See? And this guy rules this body. That's what I don't like to work in a hospital, because I feel sick every time I see people sick. I can't. My mom was a nurse for many years, 30 years. When I decided to choose a career, no doctor, no, I don't faint. I can't see blood. I was in a war. I can see things, horrible things. But I just don't like to be around it, because it made me feel like I can't do nothing. You have a guy dying there in front of you, and you don't have no power to save him. I mean, I want to do something, but I can't. Now I can do something at least, because I know where the power is. And we can pray about it. But before, I'm talking, when I just could not stand a woman crying or pain, because my heart just go out and I feel so bad because I couldn't do nothing. So when I said to myself, no, doctors, those careers, you know, firemen that you had to see death and because I will be erect by the end of the day. So your foundation. So the contrast here in this verse is between the wicked and the righteous. And the difference is the foundation. Yes. You know? When you deal with people there in denomination, They are not bad. It's just their foundation. It's not your foundation. When a person wants to be a homosexual, a drunkard, or a fornicator, that is their foundation. And you can do nothing. You cannot force anybody, because how can you change that foundation? The only one that can change that is him. Amen. By changing that, by killing that completely.
That's right.
So don't get mad and don't get angry and don't toss him out there to hell because he don't believe like you believe and he don't act. Respect the person. Yes, hate the sin.
Yes.
Respect the person. And if he don't believe you after you tell him the truth, still respect him for the decision. Well, I told him, I gave him the word test. Done. No. You pursue him. Brother Brown said, as long as that man or woman has breath, go after it.
Amen.
That's how you respect people. Until they tell you, no, don't talk to me, I'm done, then you stop. My brother-in-law died years ago, maybe 40 years ago. He had an immune system disorder. I guess he couldn't fight diseases. The white cells were low. I think that's what's called blood something. Anyway, he has a name for that. But anyway, he got sick and he couldn't fight it. They put him in the hospital. They gave him all kind of stuff. And his lung was getting full of fluid. He couldn't fight the virus, the pneumonia, whatever it was. So and he was missing a half of a lung too. That's another problem. So I got there on time. He was still there in bed, and he sat in bed to spit all the juices, you know. So, and I was then a Baptist. I was already in church. So I got next to him by the bed, and he was sitting there. I'm not standing in front of him. And I told him, you know, that he didn't have to, you know, die that way, because I know he wasn't a believer. So he told me, you know, I love you. Don't talk to me anymore, ever again about God. I respect the man. He died. I don't know where he's at. And I'm not going to worry. I will see him in the day of the judgment. And if the grace of God give me a decision to make, you know, the Bible says books and other books, and books were open. And depending on their word, they were given what? Eternal life. Listen, this is still a chance. Not for you. You're not ignorant, but he is. And maybe whatever he did for me, to help me, maybe that is enough for me to, Lord, grant them eternal life. That's what you want for your loved ones. Listen, my friend, it is not time to quit. Pray for your loved ones, your father, for your daughters, for your son. Never give up.
Right.
Be persistent.
Right. True.
Keep moving forward. Maybe they don't want your prayers. That doesn't have nothing to do. You continue praying. Because one of these days, God will answer your prayer here or there.
Amen.
Persistent. That's a word that I have written here somewhere down in Berry, where they are persistent. Because a good foundation is a person is persistent. I want to finish with this, and I'm going to finish. I finish this tonight, hopefully. I'm going to close it because I'm done. Paul says, run the race, but only one will win the race. Only one will get the prize. But he says, run the race so as you will win. Are you going to win? But that's the right answer. I don't care about the circumstances. The race don't belong to the strong. The race don't belong to the fastest. The race don't belong to the one that has the better skills. The race do not belong to the one that is smarter than you. The race belong to those that God has favor on them. But there is a part that you need to do. You need to be persistent, and your attitude should be, I'm going to win.
Amen.
Yes, it's against hope. Abraham, against hope, he hoped that he was going to have a child. Everything that he saw there was hopeless. And sometimes what you see around about yourself and the things you do is hopeless. Nevertheless, against that hope, you need to have hope and be persistent and continue moving, because he will have the last word, not you. A good foundation is persistent. See? Don't give up. See? Abraham was the same way. On Lot. Lot, you know, Abraham said, listen, if there's 40 righteous, see, keep being persistent with your family. If there's just 40, the Lord said, if it's 40, yes, I spare them. Well, what about 30? What about 10? What about 5? Yeah, so you got 5. See, a man interceding for who? For his nephew. The angels get there, and they say, we cannot destroy the city until you are out of the way. You want to save your families? You want to save your children? Continue praying, be persistent, and believe that God will do something. I don't know what it is. God knows what he needs to do. And when the tempest come, when the force come, when the storm come, God will hide them somewhere. I don't know how, but God will do it for you. You need to be persistent. Your attitude is, I'm a winner. I don't care what my body's saying. I don't care what he's saying. I don't care what they say. You know, sometimes my wife tells me, well, that's not a Christian attitude. I say, you're right. It's not. But that's what I'm going to do anyway. No. You know, we were talking about our neighbors. Today is my day. We're talking about our neighbors. I got a lot of faults. If you don't have any, then just take your halos down and suffer me just for a little bit. I got a lot of trash that I bring from my gym pool that God has been dealing for years. And I'm not taking none of those. He's regenerating me with a different kind of a gene. His gene. And that is the one that I'm going to take that imagine my theophany. That's it. I got to deal here with my genes that I was given to me. Like a grab bag. I don't know what I got. Yeah. Whatever you get, that's yours. I got a lot of stuff. Okay, I got allergies. You don't. But you have sugar problems and I don't. I don't know what you got in your grab bag, but you got something. We all got something. And life and journey is to deal with those things. Let God have preeminence. Let God help you. Because that is the thing. God wants you to trust him that he will take care of you. And he's going to bring you to that point. Because you need to trust God that regardless how the situation looks like, God will take care of that thing. The attitude is, I'm a winner. See, you fail. It doesn't matter if you fail. You get up. You're still a winner. Because he's going to take me all the way through. It's not me. It's not beyond my power. I don't have anything. And if it was up to me, I would stay down. I will be smart enough to say, what should I get up to get another beating? I might as well stay down. You know? No. As long as there's life in you, get up. Confess. He will forgive you and you continue moving forward. But I did this. The devil said I did that. It doesn't matter. The attitude is, I'm going to win. Why? Because he started the work, and he's going to finish it. You don't have nothing to do with it. I don't have nothing to do with it. It is him. So is this all in him? What are you blaming your brother for your situation? It had nothing to do with that. And your brother has his own situation that you have nothing to do with that. We need to what? Endure. Be patient with one another. Until we can all leave this place. One more thing. It's 12 o'clock. I'm going to let you go. 9/11. You're not going to hear this in YouTube. It's a lot of prophets in YouTube. What you're going to hear right now and what you have heard is word in due season. So what you're getting is fresh from the throne. I'm not claiming anything. What you're getting is what you need at this time. YouTube tells you what happened yesterday, what's going to happen tomorrow. It will not help you today. Why? Because they ain't got no clue. They just feel the pull. But see, that's why we come to church. Because what you need right now is being preached through a vessel. And it's what you need at this time and this season. Wednesday will be something different, but you still need that. It will be somebody else. But this is word in due season. What happens if you miss it? I don't know. Don't know what happens. Can you make it up? I don't know. You can get the tape. You won't get the same result. He, the Spirit is here. His presence is here. I don't know if you can recreate that with the tape. You might. Thank you, brother. One agreement with that. So, listen to me. And I finish. 9/11 was a turning point for this country. We know that. It's doom. It's curse. Because they have been wicked. This nation has been corrupted. And it has what it has coming to them. It will come. The two towers, what did you think spell? Two numbers. 11. Okay? But you and I, we have a 9/11 also. And I'm going to show it to you. We have a tower that we can run to. You know? And there in that tower it says we are secure. Nothing can touch us. Can you put to me Psalm 9:1:1? That anytime you remember you have a situation in your life, call 9:1:1. Psalm 9:1:1. This is my 9/11, your 9/11. Where the country is going down, you and I we're going. We have a place. Let the storm fall, let the world shake. We have a secure place, a safe place to go. Can you find me Psalm 9? It's 9:1:1, but I call it 9/11. Sorry, buddy. It wasn't a test. I wasn't trying to trick you. That's not it. That's, no, it's not on my notes. I've been out on my notes for 3 years now. Sometimes that's the way I am. I don't know what, but this is how God made me. I study hard. And I said, when I come to the pulpit, there he goes, Lord, now what you want to do? We had to prepare because we had to have something to say. We're just going to come over here by inspiration and let's see what we're going to get. No, I got something. But when I come to the pulpit, here he goes, Lord, now what do you say? 9:1:1. Thank you, brother. But that is good too. I want you to look at that because, no, I have a few ones. I got about 5. That is one of them. Look at your 9:1:1s in your Bible when you have some time. I don't have time for this one, but Romans 9:1:1. I mean, just give me the one that I want so I can get out of here. 9:1, thank you. Sorry, I'm busy. He that dwell in the secret place of the most high shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Now give me the next one. Let me see the verse 2. He is my refuge, my fortress. He is my tower. Amen. This nation tower, the tower was founded in humanity. Our tower is founded on the word of God. Amen. There will crumb. They did crumb. Their system will crumb. We fall. Our system will stay forever and ever. Because we have a place that we can run to. Our towers. 9:1:1. 9:11. Now you can get up. I'm done. You'll not get none of this on YouTube. Because this is food in due season. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Are you applauding because I let you go earlier because you like what you heard? Nah. Either way, both. I love you, John. I like John. At least he laughs at my things. Anyway, I love you guys. All you guys. Maybe sometimes I'm a little bit different, but it's not because I don't like you. Just sometimes I go through things. Right? We go through things. And if tell me, just tell me, you know, hey, what is that face? Oh, you are so serious. Then I will say, oh, I'm sorry, I was thinking, or you know, my mind was someplace else. Then I put a smile on my face. And then I tell you thank you for the smile. You need to thank, you know, things are, I'm gonna finish. Things are simple. When a sister or a brother give you a smile, tell her thank you. And she said, why? For the smile. I needed that. Even if that's all I got in service, I needed that smile. The greeters, where are the greeters? Okay. If you will see a Wednesday, you know what I'm talking about. The smile. The smile. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Your tender hand, the way you handle us, the way you deal with us. You are so soft-handed with us, and we're not worthy, but you just do it. You love us to the point that you care so much. We ask you this morning, Father, that this word that were spoken, broken, and everywhere, there were something that I did not even imagine this, but I thank you because I needed them. We needed them. Father, we are praying for one another. Father, have your way and do. And help us, Lord, to let go and let you finish the work that you started. A church, at this time, we are in the end time. It should be a church full of love and caring for one another. And sincere and honest. It should be nothing hiding. What you see is what you get. We need to get to that point. Like that, we wouldn't have no, probably kind of funny feelings to approach one another. I'm afraid to ask him or ask her because I know what I'm going to get, or I don't know what I'm going to get. We need to get to the point that we are so sincere and honest that we could talk to one another openly. Father, we coming, we approaching that day. We are here now. So we ask you, help, Lord, continuously in our lives. Me, I need you, Lord. Every day I need you even more. Every day I see more sinfulness. The older I get, Father, help me. Help me, Father, to let go and let you finish the way that what you purpose in your heart for my life and our life, Father. We love you and we thank you. Be with our pastor, for their wife, Jennifer, and Sister Salinas, and those that are Sister Victoria and Luke, and all those that are going to travel and that are coming back, and those that are going, Sister Joy and John, and those that are going to be absent. Father, absent from us, but keep them. Watch over them. Bring them home safe and secure. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. And amen. And amen. Do your part. God bless you. I love you.